Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
These songs are just so amazing, and I have to give a little praise truck testimony that happened to me this week. I have an F-250, and I had my check engine light go on back in December, and there was like one diesel person available, and he wasn't available until January 4th. And I thought, okay, I'll just put it in the shop then. And so I put it in the shop, and I had to fill out this paperwork, you know, my mileage and everything, because it's at 113,000, and this is January 4th. So Tuesday, he calls me, and he says, well, what we have to fix is covered, but what it is in is might not be. I have to check with Ford. And God knows when. God knows the timing. God knows. God knows. There's a really awesome song that I love by Toby Mac that has help is on the way. He's never early. He's never late. So they call me from Ford. I wait. I wait all day Wednesday. I heard nothing. But you know what my verse of the day was? Be anxious for nothing. Okay. So Thursday he calls me. He goes, I'm still waiting on Ford. But that verse of the day was cast all your cares upon the Lord. So now how easy is it for us to wait? We're waiting. We're just waiting. I felt like the kid in the back seat saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? But my father has the wheel. Okay, so Friday he gives me a call and he says, well, I've got some good news. He goes, there is a warranty on this thing. Now, my truck's a 2011. I love my truck, but it's getting older. But a diesel can turn like 600,000. So I was really excited. He goes, this DPF, which is a diesel particulates filter, it's like a catalytic converter for a car. Really expensive. We're talking like a $7,000 bill he's telling me about. They said Ford says it's got 120,000 warranty on it and January 13th. Next week. Yes. And they're going to cover it 100%. Wow. Right? Right? So God knows. God knows. It's hard to wait, but cast your cares on the Lord. Surrender. Surrender and give Him, give God the glory. Give God the glory. The guy tells me, he goes, you need to go buy a lottery ticket. I said, God is good. I just got one. And I told him this, and by telling everybody all week long, everyone I've been talking to, they're like, how about your truck? How about your truck? I said, you know what? Today's verse was be anxious for nothing. You know what? Today's verse was cast your cares on the Lord. So all week long, my truck has been a testimony. Praise God.
Worship was always one of my favorite, even as a kid. It was one of my favorite parts of a service because when you, I don't know how many of you have had this question, but I know I've had this question with people. How do you know God is real? There was never a doubt in my mind because for me, you could feel it. And it's the same thing. That's why I always loved worship. Because to me, you could tell when His Spirit was moving. You could feel it. You could be having a rough day and really not want to be there. But then when you get immersed in worship, it just all changes. And this song has been such a blessing to me because that day and night, night and day, let incense arise. That's us. That's our worship. I don't care the circumstance. I don't care what's happening in my life. Day and night, night and day, I will let that incense arise. So much of the church beginning to be more than just a church happened in that moment, the day and night, night and day. The going after him with a hunger and a thirst. Somebody told me one time, why do you pray for more constantly? Because as long as I'm not here, he's not done. That's right. The Bible tells me that he is living and that he wants to give us life more abundantly. So why do we become satisfied with just what we have? We went to a youth group, a youth convention with Abe and Mikhail 1 year. And one of the things that stood out to me so much, and that I actually was like, poof, like that's one of those moments where it's like, man, you said it. And that's the thing is, this guy got up there and he said, I don't care if you've been a Christian your whole life, you can still become stagnant. And he said, don't let it be where you're just dead water. And it always stuck with me because I think that there's always this mentality that once you've said that prayer, you're good. But that's not what he desires for you. Nor is it the way he meant for it to be. Everything he did when he came here was something that was to show you the gift that's been placed within you. It was to show you that you were more on this earth. You weren't just existing. You weren't just here. You were meant for the healings. You were meant for the prophecy. You were meant for all of those things. He created you in his image. He didn't say, okay, this is where it stops. No, he wants to give it to you. He wants your cup to be overflowing. Huh. It's in the intercession. The more you meet with him, the more you'll see in your life. The more you go after him, the more you read. Can I tell you that I know that there's even days that I will get into an area of the Bible that I'm like, I just don't understand this, or it's just completely going like this over my head. And sometimes I'll notice that I'll read it again and I'll read it again, and sometimes I will be, God, I don't know. But that's the point. It's like a relationship. If you don't know, he knows. If you're not sure, he knows the answers. And he wants to share them with you. It's the reason that the Bible talks about a difference between this world and the kingdom. It's the reason that he talks about giving you keys to the kingdom. It's the reason he talks about unlocking the mysteries. Because as you grow and you go through things, he's going to continue to give you those keys that just unlock those things. And let me tell you that when you see somebody who's super excited about what God's revealed to them and you just don't quite get it, that's okay. Because that revelation in your life is key. It's the reason that we can't walk around shaking a finger at somebody because it's not been revealed to them yet. If you just love on them and allow God to work in them, you will begin to see changes in their life, and it has nothing to do with you. That's right. It has everything to do with him. Yeah. Yeah. We're not meant to just play church. We're not meant to just come and sit here. Our life is to be a reflection of who he is. There's something that happens when you get saved and you start going after God. Things change, not because, well, I made it a goal today and tomorrow it happened. No, it's because you went after him, and as you went after him, he began to weed out all these things in your life, and he began to replace with things that he wanted to give you. He began to kind of, it's like when you see those houses that are all covered, right? Because they've been vacant for so long. It's like taking all those sheets off the couches and dust and everything off. He begins to reveal things that you didn't even know were there. Your life is meant to reflect who the Father is. It's the reason that we have sermons about unity. It's the reason that we have these conversations with you guys about go after him. Even when things seem like they're going wrong, that's the moment. Go even more. Dive in even more. Because you will begin to see that it's not just church anymore. God is doing so much more, and the church is beginning to rise up, and it really is beginning to, God is putting it in the position to take its place. Amen. When my dad talked to me about this church being a hub, I was like, oh man, so what, we're going to lose all these people all the time? I didn't quite understand it the way that he explained it. But can I tell you that the more that I have just not even focused on that and gone after God, the more I've realized the importance of having a hub that allows people to come in, allows people to grow and truly have life-changing moments and then take it out and make it grow somewhere else. I'm not saying we want to lose all you guys, of course not. But I am saying that when God calls people, that's a blessing. When God builds somebody up and calls them to something, that is amazing. Because that is what you are meant to do. You're not meant to just sit here. You're meant to grow. God wants to show you new things. He wants to give you new things. He wants to place new things within you. And as he does it, you'll just begin to see that the whole landscape changes. It really does. You're now producing a fruit that he desired for you to produce the whole time. So I really want to go back into this song. But I just want to encourage you, let that incense arise. Just allow for him to do what he's going to do. Let go of the rest. Nothing else matters. That's the truth. Nothing else matters. That moment that you get to meet with him, that moment that you spend with him, that can mean so much more than anything else. It can give you answers. It can give you comfort. It can give you peace. It can lift a burden that you've been needing lifted for so long. Amen. Just spending time can do so much for you. Just resting in his presence, just allowing him to do what he's going to do, speak what he's going to speak, it can give you that refreshing you need. It can give you that upload of just strength that you need. It can give you healing. It can give you joy. It can give you all the things he's promised you.
Father, we love your presence, Lord. And Lord, you are always welcome in this place, Lord. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. And today, Lord, I do ask that, as we sang, Lord, that you would have your way with us. Lord, change our hearts. Lord, speak to us as individuals, Lord, and take us where you need us to be. We bless what you've done with us, Lord. And Lord, we know that there is, as Rebecca says, so much more. So much more, Lord. We surely have not arrived. And thank you for that, Lord. You're bigger than anything we could ever imagine, Lord. You're bigger than anything we have ever done, Lord. Because, Lord, you have so much, Lord, that regardless of whether we're a child, Lord, or in our age, a pyre, Lord, there is more.
Amen.
There is more. Just enjoy His presence for just a couple of more minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless what you're doing in this place, Lord. Let your love flow, Lord. Lord, let it pour over us like honey, Lord. Let your love pour, Lord. This mic is open, and I know sometimes as you sit in your chairs, the Lord is stirring your heart. And just as we had one of our sisters come up, you know, it's always open to you. There are things in your heart that you want to say, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, thank you, worship team.
2 weeks ago, we were leaving church, and I was just about home, and I asked the Lord what He wanted me to pray about that week, and He said two things to me, the remnant and the threshing floor. And I was like, okay, Lord, I know what the remnant is. What's about the threshing floor? So I did a little searching in the Word, and I did a lot of praying about it, and the Lord showed me the story of Ruth, and she was going to the threshing floor of Boaz. And this was representing that she realized that she needed a redeemer for the loss of her husband. And she had stayed with her mother-in-law, Naomi, which they were not even a people of her own. The threshing floor is a place of refinery, the separation of the worldly things or chaff that we may come into His threshing floor in His presence, knowing that we are in need of a redeemer. We lay ourselves in a position He can separate the things out of our lives so we can be the grain that remains, so we are of use to Him. And I felt the Lord asking the question to His body, saying, will you answer the call to meet at the threshing floor that He may separate and remove the chaff so you can be the remnant left behind to be of use to Him? We are only of use to Him, and we'll see the signs and wonders once we have been sifted and remain asking Him to do so. So I don't know if you guys know about the threshing floor and like how the grains are separated, but back in the day, the cattle were used to trample the grains that were on the threshing floor, and it would separate the outer part of the grain, and they would take it and they would throw it into the air, and the wind would blow away what was not of use. And then the grain would fall back to the ground, which obviously is what's of use. And so God is trying to sift those things out of us and refine us. And that's what I felt like the Lord's been speaking to me about. And so I just feel like God wants us to answer that call. He wants each of us to be that remnant, but many are called and few are chosen, but that's because it's our decision.
Amen. Thank you. Yes. I knew we'd get some more up here. There you go, Wendy.
God's been speaking to me about repentance, just in need of the church and everything. Sometimes we think we're right and we're not right, you know, and sometimes we need to be examined. It says to read his word and examine our hearts somewhere in the Bible, I know. But this poem came to me, and I hope it's of use to someone. God has to break us to make us into useful vessels for him. Otherwise, we're useless, not emerging from our sin, not reaching a potential dream he has placed inside. Instead, we may drift along, and while existing, never truly belong. So make sure you come to the end of yourself. Look into the Master's eyes. He loves us so and invites us to grow into what he has in size. So let him into your heart. He can cleanse the temple placed inside. Let him knock down the walls of sin, such as jealousy and pride. He wants to make us useful, to reveal our brokenness. Otherwise, on that fateful day, you might stand on the other side and ask why you can't journey on and gain a rightful prize. But he will say quite rightly, I never knew you, child. You never let me cleanse your heart and break your sins away. So the dream I placed inside you won't see the light of day.
Amen. My turn? Okay. No, honestly, we love when you guys get up here and speak. You know, it's not just about one guy standing up here. You guys are ministers. You guys are preachers. So, and don't just use it in this church. Go outside those doors. That's your mission field. So as you can tell by the title of my message today, it says, I was, and now I am. So my message is about change. And I hope that who you was ain't who you are today. But it is one of them things that, you know, we want to be different. I was talking to Steve a few minutes ago, and I guess I need to share this, but it was about another scripture in the Bible where Jesus was given a message, and some of his followers, he had more than the 12, but some of his followers couldn't handle what Jesus was talking about, and it was too much for them. They couldn't understand it, and so they left. They left him. It's hard to imagine that anybody could walk away from the teachings of Jesus, but the stuff he was talking about, I don't know. We might have even thought about it then, but so he asked his disciples, you know, his 12, are you going to leave me also? And their response was, where else do we go? And that's kind of how I feel with my life. Where I'm at today, I would never want to go back to what I was. I don't even know that guy anymore. And I think a lot of us are like that. You know, it's where we are today is, whoa, have we traveled a long ways. So I want to start off with Hebrews 10, and I'm going to read 11 through 14. And it says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. How do you see yourself? Do you see perfection? Or do you see flaws, areas that may need change? We seem to focus more on the flaws, don't we? But when we accepted Christ and were born again, we became new creatures. brand new creatures. A new creation. Not a redone one, but a new creation. So when God sees us, he sees the perfection of his Son with no flaws. The righteousness of Jesus has made us perfect. But we are still progressively being cleansed and always growing. But only if we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way with us. Kind of like that song said, have your way with us, Lord. He says that he's not finished with us yet. And aren't you glad that he's not? But as great as that sounds, that he's not finished with us, it might give us an area for us to kind of make excuses for why we're still there in some places that maybe we should have grown into a different place. It's an excuse to continue to stay in a place that God doesn't want us to be at that place any longer. We were saved by the grace of God. He met each of us just where we were, but he didn't want to leave us there. And I don't believe any of us, as I mentioned earlier, would ever want to go back to that place. I don't think any of us would ever give up what we have now to return to that place. And so the idea of using that that says, well, where God's not done with us, sometimes it can keep us in an area that he wants to take us out of. He wants to grow us out of that place. And we can excuse ourselves by saying, well, he's not doing that with me, when he in reality is wanting to take you farther. And so as you continue to listen to the Holy Spirit, sometimes, as this is about, is growing, right? And sometimes growing pains hurt. And as you grow in what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, there might be some times that you're going to not want to continue because it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good for you. It's not where you're not ready, but maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm ready, so you need to be ready for me also. So never disregard those places that may seem a little hard to travel in. So let's go to Romans 6, 11 through 15. And this one, scripture says that in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. The things that were so important to us, but displeasing to God, should have become displeasing to us. You know that God loved us when maybe we weren't so lovable. And God will continue to love us regardless of how we live and what we do. You know, even today, whatever it is that we're doing, he still loves us, but he loved us before we even loved him. The way we live and what we do shows who we are and how we love God. And we should not only be aware of how we see ourselves, but how those around us may see us. Because we have a world out there that is just looking for an opportunity to criticize the Christian community. And if you're that image, you represent Jesus. You represent the Christian community. So they're looking at you, probably even more than they would at someone else, but they're looking at you. And so some of you may say, you don't care how others look at you, but you really should. You really should be aware, and you should care, because our everyday lives show who we truly are. And one thing you've got to remember, that who we truly are, we are the children of God. And we are held to a higher standard. We shouldn't be like the guy next to us out on the street or whatever. Our way of being looked at is being held by the world. They expect a higher standard. And so regardless of even that, we should already be in that place. We should look at ourselves. Hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a king. I'm a prince. I'm a child of God. And you should see yourself in that way. In the spiritual, we are kings. We are priests. We are ambassadors. In the natural, we are fathers. We are mothers, sons, daughters, maybe a friend. But most importantly, we are the reflection of Jesus on this earth. And so the being made that we talked about in Hebrews 10:14 is that we are becoming more like Jesus, and change should be in our lives. Hebrews 10:14 was that it said for one sacrifice he made us perfect. So it's very important to look at the word made. He made us. And forever, those who are being made. So there's that progression. There's that growth, that even though we are perfect in the sight of God, there's still things in our life that need change. There's still things in our life that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to grow us in. And so, again, expect change, even though you might have some growing pains. Jesus came not only to save us, but also to demonstrate a true resident of his kingdom. What a resident of the kingdom should be like. So, what kind of a kingdom resident are you? So, as I read the next few verses, I know you're all kind of familiar with a lot of the scriptures that I'm reading. And here we go. Let's go to Ephesians 4:22, and I'm going to go verse by verse here. Okay. And it says, we were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put off the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we are to see change. When we said yes to Christ, it wasn't so that we would stay in the condition that he found us in. We are to see change in our lives. And there's a lot of gray areas that today we may still have that are still working in our lives. You know, things that don't seem quite as bad. But those gray areas, whatever they may be, and each one of us has a different area in our lives that maybe you're saying, this may be right, but it may not be right. If there's questions, that's because the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart to take a look at these areas in your life that maybe he wants to change. Areas that it's time that you grew on. areas that maybe a year earlier you weren't ready. And he is the one that has the right timing so you understand, and that when you make that change, that you fully understand the change that is made. I know in my life, some things that have happened that I was so a part of, I didn't even notice when they were gone. All of a sudden, I'm not doing them anymore. And it wasn't like I prayed that they'd be gone. Matter of fact, it just all of a sudden, they weren't important to me anymore. A lot of the things that were so important become less important as you let the Holy Spirit have his way with us. So the gray areas should become overwhelmed by the light of Jesus. As Jesus shines light on these gray areas, you will see that the importance doesn't remain. So let's go on with verse 25 on Ephesians. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So that's talking about lying, right? Yeah. Speaking truth to anyone. And when you look at that word lying, how many times have we maybe said something that wasn't true to just maybe avoid a confrontation? Maybe something that you feel, well, if I just say this, then it's all over. And how about as you start saying these little lies here and there, you know that the more you do it, the easier it gets, the more it becomes part of you. It becomes a part of who you are. Lying becomes easier. But the biggest thing that lying can do is that it destroys trust. If somebody says something to you as minute as it might seem, as silly as you might think it is, but if they can tell you a small thing, you might think that there's other bigger things that they're not telling you. The trust is gone if you start seeing this person being in that way. And if it's you that's doing it, it's time to get a check. So let's go on with verse 26 and 27. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Does anybody have an issue with anger? Just, I fear I hear a few little, you know, anger can become a part, just an easy response to the things that are happening in our lives. And the idea is that rather than to get angry, what is it that made you angry? And it's time to talk, right? Communication has got to be the best thing that could ever be for any part of your life that is bringing that anger to come. Talk about it. Resolve the issue. Because as it says, otherwise you're inviting the devil to be a part of what's going on. And as you know, the devil is here to destroy. He's here to divide. And so, therefore, the quicker that you can come together with whomever it is that you're angry at, whether it's your family member or whether it's somebody in your church, sometimes it's not easy to talk to somebody about why you're angry. And a lot of times we tend to just kind of put it off to the side. But what happens is as it says, it brews within you. It becomes something in you that pretty soon you're not even talking to that person. Where if you did, maybe you could figure out what it was that got you to that place. Verse 28 says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. So now it's talking about stealing. And, at what point do you, you always think of stealing as, taking some money or, taking some big objects, from your workplace. I knew a guy that lost his job, a good job, because he took something out of his workplace, that with the money he was making, he could have probably gone out and buy it. But he chose to take it freely. And so he got caught, and he lost his job. And so it seems like, okay, that's a big object. But I always remember myself, whenever I used to work, I still work, I guess, but I remember coming home, and I might have some little screws and nuts in my pocket, maybe some little electrical connectors that I would use during the day, and I'd get home and I'd start emptying my pockets and, I've got these little items sitting in my pocket. Well, you'd think, put them in a box and, big deal. I couldn't do that. Next morning, they go back in my pocket and they go right back to where they belonged. It's something that has got to be in your heart that even the small things, just as I said in the line, could lead to the big things. If it becomes easy for those things to be done in your life, so can the bigger things. And a lot of times even we might be showing those things to our children. They might see dad bring something and, belongs to work, but it stays there. Well, you might think, well, heck, I can take something from school, and it's okay. So there is even in your family, a teaching moment per se that, because you lead by example, you want to be that dad or that mom that the kids can say, that's who I want to be like. Okay, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, unwholesome talk, there can be such a wide area of the things that come out of our mouth. There's people that cussing is part of their vocabulary. And, that's just the way they speak. You can use your words to demean somebody. You can cut down anybody you want by the way you speak to them, even by the way you treat them. So let your heart show the love. Unwholesome talk doesn't belong to a kingdom resident. We are children in the kingdom of God, and that should not be coming from one of its residents. And here's the one that I really spend some time on. It goes on to say on verse 32, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to stop there. Could you imagine that we could grieve the Holy Spirit? Why would there be any inkling in our hearts, in our minds, to do something like that to the Spirit of God? And to think that because of the things that we do, the ways that we speak, the actions that we take, that we could be doing that to the Holy Spirit. And if you could just take that little bit right there, even if you kind of put the rest of it off to the side, and just don't do that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It says, get rid of all bitterness, all rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. And as it says there, forgiving, sometimes we have a hard time with that, don't we? Sometimes we feel we have a right to stay mad at somebody. We have a right to not go out of our ways for somebody because they did something that hurt us. And you know that a lot of the stuff sometimes that people do isn't really done deliberately to you? You know, somebody comes in the church and maybe walked past you and you said hello and they never responded. And now you go, well, are they mad at me? What did I do? You know, your little mind starts cranking up and you start thinking, okay, they want to be that way, I'll be that way, whatever the case may be. But did you ever think that maybe they didn't hear you? Did you ever think that maybe their mourning hasn't started right, that there's something more going on in their lives? We're so concerned about the way we feel that we forget to think maybe that person, rather than for me to just say the heck with them, that maybe I should go talk to them and see, are you okay? Give them a hug, even if they may not want it, give them one anyway. I don't think anybody can refuse hugs or can refuse for someone to say, can I pray with you? I've never had anybody say no to that. Okay, so we're going to go on to Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. And it says, start off with 25. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. So guys, you like that? Yeah. Yeah, now see, now we get the men to respond, Abe. But then we know what comes next, right? Then it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy and cleansing by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So it sounds at first, and I know there are some husbands that use that first part. You know, the word says that you've got to submit to me, so go get me the remote, whatever, whatever else. And while you're at it, bring me a whatever, bring me a drink, you know. And so, you know, they take that to heart, but, you know, that's not what it's all about, is it? And so no wife needs to fear or resist submitting to a husband who is willing to sacrifice everything for her. That's right. Amen. One who makes her well-being of primary importance and cares for her as he would care for himself. And that's where this comes together. It's easy for me to love my wife. It's easy for me to go get her the remote, you know. And she may be sitting there just enjoying it. Here, there's a remote. You pick something. And then she picks Hallmark. But anyway. I know. See, those are the good ones, right? We got the Cardinals later, right? Yeah. Well, we're getting off course here. All right, so we're going to go to Ephesians 6, starting with verse 1. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and all that you may enjoy long life on earth. And so it's directed at you, and you, all it's directed as you read it as for young children, you know. And what's cool about that is that if you do this, all will go well with you. I mean, you don't see any of the other commandments or whatever saying that. It says all will go well with you if you do this. And so as we grow the children to be in that kingdom walk, they will grow up to be that right child. But now this is the one that we also need to place in there. We always look at it from a kid's point that he's getting told this. But what happens when mom and dad turn into grandma and grandpa, and now that grandma and grandpa needs somebody to take care of them? That child is now responsible to do that to that elderly person. So it doesn't stop just because your parents do it to the kid. It also continues for that kid that one day will grow up and take care of whomever that may be that becomes elderly, that becomes in need. And that same, that all will go well, applies to you as you take care of your mom or your dad as they get in old age. So remember that you're still responsible. And then it says on verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So when we're looking, it says fathers, but of course this could apply to moms also. So when the fathers are correcting their kids, the question is, do you only exercise your discipline and authority, or do you also use patience and understanding? Do you instill fear, or do you instill respect? There's a difference. There's a difference in what you're doing. You know, your kids will do whatever you tell them if you're standing there with a belt or a baseball bat, you know, you'll get them to do it. But is that the way we want to raise our kids? Is that the way that our God is raising us, right? And so what happens is that it should be, as it says, the patience, the understanding, the respect that we have for Dad, knowing that Dad loves me. And if he asks for me to do something, I want to do it for him because, you know, I love him. And it's really looking at God the Father, as we look at the fathers in our families. So talk to your kids. Explain the whys. Don't just tell them to go do something. But Dad, why? Because I said so. We've all used that at some point, right? Maybe it'd be okay to say, well, I need you to do that. Would you do that for me? And I bet you, with that type of a voice or that type of asking, I bet you're going to get what you need from your child. Then the other part that has there says, are you establishing a godly foundation for them? Do you read the Bible and worship with them? Do you pray with them or for them? And I'm going to talk about my wife again, but we had 9 grandchildren. And yeah, we have 9 grandchildren. And so at one point when we first moved to to Sarita. My daughters were working, so Stella, my wife, had to childcare. So she took care of all of them. And so every day, every morning, you know, my daughters would bring them, leave them, and she would have them at the house. You would think, you know, here's a couple of toys, you know, go play and, you know, color book or whatever. But that's not what my wife did. My wife took the time to teach them how to pray. She took the time to, you know, to read the Bible to them. I don't know if you remember, but back in those days, sorry, honey. Back in those days, there was this one video, the Salty or something like that. And so it was just a Christian video. And they would have these kids just jump in and worshiping. And that's what she would do with them. She would have them out there. I've got videos of my grandkids all jump in and hands raised up. And so they had a foundation set before them. And actually, even some of them, all of them maybe, know how to pray in the Spirit. You know? And so to say that, the foundation is there. And they've all grown up. They all became monks. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And that's the thing. The foundation is there, but they're going to do what they're going to do, right? And it's okay. Because a foundation is there. It's there. And I'll tell you what, still, they all know Jesus. They all pray. And whenever they're going to have they're in their 20s now, most of them. Whenever they're going to have an event happen in their lives, they'll call me and Stella. You know, I have a job interview. Would you pray for me? You know, so there's a connection with my grandkids and us. And like I said, I'm using the grandkids. My daughters were in that same place. So all that to say is that if you're not doing these things with your kids, please start. It's never too late. So give them the foundation and then watch God work in their lives. And even if they don't become monks, they're still okay. Oh, come on. All right, I've got one more scripture here. So before I read the scripture, I need to ask you a question. Has your mouth ever gotten you in trouble? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's read James. I know you're all ready for that one, huh? Well, I think, yeah. I'll just read it there. And it says, with a tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. And that's really something to look at, because I know sometimes the things that come forth are not exactly representing who we really want to be. And so God created the universe and now sustains it by the power of his words. And words can build or they can tear down. So think about it. If you keep telling your child that they're useless, stupid, never do anything right, that's what they're going to believe. They're going to believe that's what they are. But they will also believe you if you tell them how great they are. And that's what we should be after. What comes from our mouth reveals what is in our hearts. So it's not our mouths that need fixing. It's our hearts. And I hope you know who the repairman is for that. If there are things that are coming forth from your mouth, things that are that you know are hurting others, things that maybe you regret saying, I know I have, then we, rather than to try to say, well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, no, something is wrong. Something is wrong in here. We need a repairman. And he's already doing the job if we let him. But a lot of times we kind of get a good feeling out of showing our strength or whatever it is. You know, sometimes we think it's cool to behave in certain ways. Well, it's not. You know, that's not where we're supposed to be. Our mouth reveals what is in our hearts. So let's change our hearts. So may our hearts be full of God's love so that what comes forth from our mouth will only bring life. Short message, but that's it. So let's pray. And what I would like to do is, as I pray, that you take it for your own personal self. Whatever that may be, however this prayer turns out, just apply your own personal self to this prayer. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are not that person, Lord, that you met, Lord. That today I am the man, Lord, that you always had in mind, Lord. Lord, I am a good father because you made me a good father. I am a good husband because you made me a good husband. I am a good friend, Lord, because you make me a good friend. Lord, if there are things that I still need to grow in, Lord, I give you permission, Lord, to expose those things. Let your light shine, Lord, on the gray areas of my life, Lord. Let your light shine and bring those forth, Lord, so that I will be able to give them to you, Lord. I know I can't do it, but your Spirit in me can. Have your way, Lord, as we said earlier. Have your way with us, Lord. Teach us to be great residents of your kingdom, Lord. Allow us, Lord, to see your everyday, Lord, in our lives. So, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, I ask that you would just direct us, Lord, guide us, Lord. And Lord, we know that your presence doesn't stay in a building, Lord. Your presence goes with us wherever we are. And we thank you, Lord. We bless your presence within us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.